Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. You can always join the conversation by calling us at 639-0008, or if you are outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to the theme, I have a couple of shout-outs for today. First of all, big shout-out to Arun over at Mako here in Ventura. Thanks for listening. And Tim Reed over at Reed's Appliance. Thanks very much for being a listener as well. And a big shout-out to Lisa and Terry in Washington, D.C. I know you're listening today. You want to hear my second guest, Jaya. So thanks very much for being a guest. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is getting our attention. All three of my guests have subject matter that is designed to get our attention. My first guest is known throughout the world as the reengineering guru. He's the author of several books on reengineering business practices. He gets our attention today by turning his talents towards reengineering healthcare. If my second guest doesn't get your attention, nothing will. She's one of the country's most progressive and well-educated somatic sex educators. She'll teach us about holiday sex and why it's the best sex. My third guest considers himself a professional spy. No, not espionage. He spent over 30 years in television and multimedia as a media producer. He's recorded and edited a lot of different people, which has allowed him to refine effective power message techniques on how to deliver them. He'll teach us how to get people's attention and how to deliver any message with a memorable and powerful punch. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Jim Champy is recognized throughout the world for his work on leadership and management issues and on organizational change and business reengineering. He now consults extensively with senior executives of multinational companies seeking to improve business performance in four distinct yet overlapping areas: business strategy, management and operations, organizational development and change, and information technology. Jim earned his BS in 1963 and his MS in civil engineering in 1965 from MIT. He received his JD in 1968 and immediately passed the bar exam. Jim now turns his re-engineering expertise on healthcare to improve its delivery and reduce its costs. His latest book is titled Re-engineering Healthcare, a Manifesto for Radically Rethinking Healthcare Delivery. Welcome to the show, Jim. How are you today?
I'm well, Billy, and it's good to be with you today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you as a guest today. And loved your book, but let's dive right into it, shall we? The newly passed healthcare bill really addressed only one problem, and that's where's the money going to come to pay for healthcare? It failed to solve the core issue that brought healthcare to the forefront in the first place. That is the rapidly rising medical costs. Now it's pretty clear that government is firmly in control of healthcare, setting provider payments and the quality of service. And we've got to remember, this is the same organization that brought us Amtrak and the post office. Is it realistic to think that there will be no unintended consequences from the health care bill when they arise? Will the federal government actually be able to solve them?
You know, Billy, there are a huge number of consequences that we're already experiencing and will experience a lot more from this bill. And, you know, I would describe the current bill as principally addressing the insurance issue. It's an attempt at insurance reform. But, Billy, I don't think the bill goes far at all in dealing with how we're going to pay for all this. And, you know, one of the things the government is certainly intending to do, and that is simply reduce, you know, their payments and, you know, to Medicare, to physicians and to hospitals. But, Billy, you talk about unintended, you know, consequences. That's just going to put our whole medical system, our whole delivery system, organizational system under tremendous financial pressure. It is already, you know, even one of the hospitals here in Massachusetts already announcing that they're having to lay off 400 people.
400,
and,
wow.
And, you know, the challenge is to really get costs out of healthcare and get quality up. And the bill doesn't really address either of those issues. That's the fundamental underlying issue here.
I would agree with you. I would have to say it has done nothing to address the cost. Well, now your book does exactly the opposite. Your book looks at how can we control things. And when you write your book, really you focus on three things: people, process, and technology. So kind of give us an overview of what you outlined in the book, if you would please, Jim.
Sure, sure. You know, Billy, to begin with, we've made tremendous advances in the, you know, in the diagnosis and treatment of illness and disease. But if you look at how healthcare is delivered, you know, the way your physician operates, what happens when you visit your physician, what happens when you have an experience in a hospital, very little has changed in the last 50, 60 years. It's, you know, it's what our parents experienced. And what I'm arguing in this book is that we have to fundamentally change how healthcare is delivered, how clinicians do their work, how the administrative processes work. We have to reduce the complexity of care. You know, when you're in a hospital for 4 days, on average, you see 24 different people. 24 different people.
24.
And you know, if a physician writes a prescription for you in a hospital, there are 17 steps between the time that the physician writes that prescription and the time the drug arrives to your bedside. I mean, 17 places where there can be an error made. And, you know, my book argues that we have to fundamentally rethink how all that work is done. But you've got to think about technology and how particularly the electronic healthcare record is going to enable the change. You have to think about people and their behaviors, because so much of this is rooted in how clinicians behave and how they do their work. And thirdly, it's about process. It's about the design of the work. And, you know, it's very doable. We've certainly demonstrated in the last 20 years in other settings, in other business settings, and healthcare is a business. We've demonstrated that you can radically rethink how work is done and dramatically reduce costs and improve quality. That, in a nutshell, is what the book is about. It's about taking those ideas and applying them to the delivery of care.
We're talking to Jim Champy, everybody, author of the book Reengineering Healthcare. And Jim, in your book, the cornerstones there is that reengineering healthcare involves harnessing technology. Now, I find it's interesting that healthcare delivery relies heavily on technology. Think about LASIK eye surgery, for example, or even robotic operations for really minute procedures. So in the delivery of it, there's a lot of technology. But the record-keeping, yeah, that hasn't kept up at all. I mean, think about back to Hurricane Katrina was a great example. You know, when Hurricane Katrina wipes out New Orleans, think of all of those paper patient records that were lost, and all of that medical history just really literally went down the drain. So you believe that technology will create a more seamless, accessible, valued, and sustainable healthcare system. How do you think that's going to help us?
You know, it is the enabler of change. Just think about you're having a single healthcare record that moves with you as a patient through your life, independent of where you're living, where you're working, so that any physician who you visit or any hospital visit that you make can simply go online, if you will, or ask you for a little card that you carry around that carries all the intelligence on it for that single healthcare record. So that you don't have to be asked a dozen times what drugs you're taking or what you're allergic to. It's there. And there's a consistency in your record so that your care can be managed as a continuum over your whole life. Now, as you know, it's incredibly fragmented. Mm. You know, you go from your physician's office to a hospital and you're asked the same set of questions. And, you know, you hope that they have the right records and that, you know, that you're the right person. There's just too much error for change. And the single electronic healthcare record would enable us to operate so much more efficiently across all of the administrative and clinical processes in care.
All right. Well, let's talk about that, Jim, because here's where I get a little bit concerned. And I'm of a generation. I remember when ATMs were first introduced into the banking industry. And there is a whole generation of people who will still to this day not use an ATM because of the concern that they have there. That resistance to change, it took over 30 years for people to really have ATMs become part of the mainstream. There's a dark side to the technology for the, as you call it, the single patient record that's out there. And that is, you know, if people, the wrong people get their hands on it, then there's all sorts of potential for fraud. We think about identity fraud today. Think about identity health fraud in the future. And furthermore, you've got all of these different organizations involved in healthcare, including the insurance industry. How long will it be before the insurers take a look at that single health record and start doing some analysis and decide that some patients are going to have to pay more premiums because of their health history, or even get excluded from healthcare coverage altogether because of their health history?
You know, Billy, the concerns you're raising are actually valid concerns. Of course, when we digitize all healthcare records, it will be a lot easier for someone to get access to a massive number of records. You know, but if you look at our history with ATMs, we don't see any substantial increase in fraud that actually occurred because of that. Paper records are also subject to, you know, to theft. You can do it much more effectively electronically. And so the concerns are there, but the concerns should be outweighed by the benefits. Now, the point you raise about insurance companies having access to these records, mm-hmm. you know, this may distress you a bit, but one of the great benefits of having digitized healthcare records is for the first time we're going to be able to look at tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of healthcare records, hopefully not identifying, you know, who the person is. And we're going to be able to scientifically relate treatments to outcomes. And ultimately, if we want to make healthcare more effective, that's where we have to go. We have to know that a particular treatment, a particular protocol, delivers a better result, and our clinicians have to adapt to practicing in that way. That's where this will eventually go. But Billy, to your point, you know, we got 10 years of hard work ahead. Hopefully it won't take the 30 years that it took us to adapt to, you know, ATMs. But I believe that the risk, the security risks, the risks of disclosure are far outweighed by the benefits of electronic healthcare record. Otherwise, just think of the option. You know, we're going to be carrying around, particularly if you've got a chronic disease of some kind, you can't physically carry around, you know, a book with your records on it. Someone has to have access to those records in a protected and secure way so all your clinicians can look at the same record. There's risk, but the benefits far outweigh the risk.
Great. We're talking to Jim Champy, everybody, author of the book Reengineering Healthcare, A Manifesto for Radically Rethinking Healthcare Delivery. Now, Jim, in your book, one of the interesting things, too, is you brought out that healthcare has many, many parts. There's health and wellness. They're the actual healthcare providers, things like doctors, hospitals, yeah. et cetera. The insurers that we were talking about just a minute ago. Drug companies, which we haven't brought into the conversation. The government, which I brought in at the top of the hour. And also patients. Four out of the six in that list are profit motivated. And it's really only the patient that wants the best health care at the lowest cost. So how can reengineering healthcare satisfy all six, what I would consider conflicting motives in the healthcare process?
You know, when you step back, Billy, and you look at clinicians who are key, absolutely key, they're the ones that are delivering this care. They may work for a for-profit hospital. Or for a for-profit doctor's organization. But clinicians come to work every day to do good. They really do. And you know, as I experienced these clinicians in my interviews, I found that they were motivated by the patient interest. That's ultimately what they wanted to do. In very, very few cases do you find anything different. Now, you know, and so I'm actually optimistic that we'll see the motives from clinicians just in the right places. You raise, though, a very interesting, you know, point about the for-profit insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
And some of our insurance companies have not always behaved as they should. I believe that for the social and economic benefit, the broader social and economic benefits. And that's what healthcare reform should be about. That should be our principal focus. And as I said, if you look at the things one could argue, and you can argue both ways, that the current bill has done, it's tried to address some of those issues. I'm more concerned about those issues, and I'm also concerned, by the way, of the issues of litigation. We are far too litigious. You know, we've got costs way too high for many physicians around malpractice insurance because of litigious environments. Those are things that do have to be controlled and do have to be managed. There are problematic issues there, and again, we haven't fully addressed those issues.
I see. All right. One other question, Jim, just in the short time that we have remaining, and that is Big Pharma. Big Pharma, yeah. and the American Medical Association have strong lobbyists. I mean, let's face it. Sure. And they're not bashful about spending large sums of money to defeat initiatives. So how will the organizations lobbying the government react to any of these reengineering initiatives?
You know, interestingly, the big pharma folks, I think, are prepared to come to the table. They've been much more willing to come to the table and help lower costs because they recognize that, you know, the American public is not going to, and the political public is not going to stand by and just watch them charge what looks like obscene prices for drugs. Now, you know, the good news, and I must tell you, again, there are dark sides and bright sides to all of this, Billy. You know, pharma has been incredibly productive in what it produces. If you step back and you think about how far we've come and,
sure.
and where we're getting to, you know, so I think these folks are smart. You're right, they've got tremendous wealth, tremendous financial power, but I think you'll see them at the table, willing to negotiate and willing to deal, because they don't want to be unreasonably controlled. And I think in the near to midterm, you'll see them acting very reasonably.
Now, what about the AMA, the American Medical Association? Because they represent some of the clinicians
sure.
that are involved in this,
sure.
but at the same time, they've done everything they can to keep the value of a doctor's degree very, very high. Look at your own state of Massachusetts, for instance. There was an initiative to have nurse practitioners perform more of the duties of a doctor, and the lobbyists mm-hmm. stepped in, and that got slammed. So what about the AMA?
That's a very unfortunate condition. Again, I think there's going to be public pressure brought to bear on the AMA and other organizations that actually want to slow things down. There's no way that, you know, the physicians can deliver all of the care that we're going to need, particularly with an increasingly insured public. And if we could do anything right now, I'd be training tens of thousands of nurse practitioners and deploying them, because they can handle so many medical and clinical issues.
Hear, hear. I couldn't agree with you more.
Right. We got to buck the AMA, and the AMA has to realize that its doctors are not living a very good life right now. Doctors are not happy.
That's right.
And I think they've got to step back and help doctors fundamentally rethink how care is delivered. Or else they're going to have a very unhappy constituency.
I agree with you, and I enjoyed reading your book very much. We've been talking to Jim Champy, everybody. Reengineering Healthcare is his latest book. It's a manifesto for radically rethinking healthcare delivery. Remember, he's the guru who brought us reengineering of the corporation, et cetera, et cetera. He now turns his focus on healthcare, and it is a good read. Jim, thank you so much for being my guest today. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, thank you.
It's my pleasure.